Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for just 2 hours this week. We've got two interviews, and then coming up at 2 o'clock, we've got the Council Connections with Michael and the team. So we'll be here for 2 hours today. But it's my pleasure to introduce, well, we've spoken to Belinda before. Belinda's the CEO down at Southern Cross Kids Camps. And I know they've had a camp over Christmas, so we're keen to talk to her about that, amongst other things. But first of all, welcome, Belinda.
Hi, Alan. Thanks very much for having me today. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Not a problem. It's great to have you along too. Now, first of all, we're going to ask you about yourself. Just briefly, it's the first time for the year. Do you have a nice Christmas New Year?
We had a fantastic Christmas New Year. We had a bit of a hazardous trip to Bali. We rolled the dice and got a bit sick there, so wasn't as relaxing as we hoped, but Christmas was wonderful and we've had a really great time with the kids, so
how long, refreshed. How long were you over there?
We went for 8 days.
And how long were you sick?
Oh, about 4. Not great odds.
Not a great way to go. But anyway, Belinda, first of all, I know we've picked up a few new listeners this year. Could you just give us a rough outline for those that don't know what Southern Cross Kids Camps actually do, because it's not a necessary or normal camping, is it?
No, we're pretty unique. So Southern Cross Kids Camps is a national charity, and we exist to provide camps to kids that have had a pretty rough start to life. So the kids that come on our camps are predominantly living in out-of-home or foster care type arrangements. Yep. And when they come on camp, they get their own adult buddy for the week, and they have a fantastic week of all things adventure and excitement, and we get to do a redo on a lot of the things that might not be part of their normal life.
And some of these young people, and I'm not putting down the carers or anything like that, but some of them probably don't have a lot of interaction with a mentor, do they?
That's exactly right. Often the kids that come to our camps are moving around. They might get moved out of foster care or into resi care. Things can be quite tumultuous for them. Yeah. So one of the great things about our camps is once they're referred to us, they have a standing invitation to come back to that camp.
Oh, do they?
Each year.
So it's not just they don't necessarily have to come, or they don't necessarily have to have the one experience, they get chuffed off and say, we've had your turn.
No, that's right. We make it a real point to find them and stay connected and to have them come back year on year, which means they get to build relationship with the leaders on the camp, but they also get to build friendships that can be enduring for quite a number of years for them, which is really important.
Which is terrific, because they need something in their life. But the other thing is too that very often these young people are taken out of their homes at very short notice too, aren't they? So when they've taken away from the family for whatever reason it might be, that very often that can be just like there's not a lot of build up. All of a sudden the people they had around them have gone, isn't it?
That can be the case. There's a whole variety of spectrums. We have a lot of kids that are being supported by some really fantastic long-term foster care situations, but there are also kids that get moved quite frequently and it can be really unsettling.
Belinda, how do you find the young people? Like, not how you find them as people, who refers them to Southern Cross Kids Camps?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a few different referral avenues for us. Often it's social workers. So usually the kids that come to our camps are already known to a welfare agency like Anglicare, or there's a whole variety of them around the country. So usually they'd contact the national office and we'd put them in contact with our most local camp. We exist in 5 states and territories around the country, so hopefully there's a camp that's close to them.
Absolutely. So how long have they the Southern Cross Kids Camps been running themselves?
We've been running for 24 years now.
That's a bad little effort, is it?
It's good going, that's right. And I can't take credit for all of them, but I love what we get to do.
So where is the head office? Is it in Melbourne or is it interstate?
It's in Mount Evelyn. We're very local to Yarra Valley FM.
So everything, even though you're in other states, it's run out of Melbourne?
That's right. So we have a very small office team, to be honest, because our camps do exist all around the country. We have a really strong cohort of volunteers that run them. We've got 18 camps happening across this year, and they're all run by local communities. So people in those areas that have decided they want to do something for these kids in their region, they band together, create their teams locally, fundraise locally, and serve the kids in their region.
You've just covered two questions, but I just need to go a little bit deeper on them. First of all, you said they're run by volunteers, or probably mostly volunteers. How do you get those volunteers? And secondly, how long do you find of volunteers with you? Like, do they come in for one camp, or some of them been there for 10 years, or what?
Our volunteers come to us in a variety of different ways. Often they know someone that's done camp.
Personal
invite's always a really great way to get the next person in. What we've found is that most people aren't okay with what happens for these kids and the things that are happening to them. And what Southern Cross does is it provides an opportunity for people to come, band together with like-minded people and do something about it. So we, as I said, we have teams all around the country led by some of our incredible directors who are really invested volunteers. A lot of them have been with us for a number of years. They do special training with us to be right across all our child safety and policy and how we run camps. And then they recruit locally to build a team around them.
So you've hit another. Every time we talk, we come on to something else a little bit different. Now, you say they fundraise. So is there a cost to the young person when they come to camp, or is it all free?
There's no cost to the young people. So we know cost would be a huge barrier to entry for a lot of kids to come on camp. And so the responsibility for fundraising each camp does sit with each local camp. So the directors, not only are they building a team, training their people, they've also got the enormous task of fundraising to run that camp as well.
Let's face it, nothing's for free.
That's
and
right.
And if you want to pass something on to the young people for free, somebody's got to pay somewhere, don't they?
That's right. So we're a not-for-profit deductible gift recipient charity, but we don't get any government funding to do what we do. So every dollar we spend, we have to find it first.
So I guess you're also looking for donations all the time as well.
Absolutely we are.
We'll be talking about that a bit later as we go along. Just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Belinda, and she's with Southern Cross Kids Camps. And maybe you'd like to donate toward one of the camps for one of these young people that wouldn't get the opportunity otherwise. And Belinda just said there's no government funding. We waste millions, but anyway, that's another story. But we'll talk to at about 5 to 1. Belinda will give you some contact details and certainly some way which you might like to donate. All right, Belinda, how long do these camps run?
They're a 5-day camp and they run in the school holidays.
Yep.
The kids that come are school kids, so anytime it's holidays, we're on camp somewhere.
So do you run from, say, Monday to Friday?
Yes, we do.
Right. Yeah. So, all right, we rock up. I'm little Johnny. I've been lucky enough to be selected. So what am I going to do for 5 days?
All right. Well, the first thing that happens is the kids get dropped off off-site and they're bused into the campsite. So as the bus rounds the corner, yep, and the kids get their first view of camp,
yep,
their buddies are all waiting out the front of the campsite with them with a big name sign.
What,
so
I?
Each child has a person who knows their name that's waiting for them. The red carpet is literally rolled out and they're announced off the bus one by one as they meet their buddy and the person that's going to
look after them. That'd make them really feel special, wouldn't it?
Oh, there's some really big smiles. Yep. A few are a little bit nervous too, because it's a big deal to go away for five, yep, days, but when they get to meet that person who's going to take special care of them for the week,
When you say buddies, are you talking somebody their own age or are you talking an older person?
No, so our buddies are all over 18. So on a camp, there's two parts to the staff group. We've got a bunch of people who are the camp staff who run all the events, yep, facilitate everything, and then each child has their own adult buddy for the week that takes care of them. But so these people are really specially, you know, selected and trained, right, to be able to help the kids get through the week.
So you say over 18, but are they as old as 30, 40? Or I shouldn't say old. Or are they only 18 to 25 or something like that?
No, our buddies are all ages. We find that the diversity of the team is something that brings strength to it. So we have all ages in our buddies.
All right, so I'm off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do now?
Well, it's an action-packed week, to be honest. Each, yeah, camp is a little bit different depending, yeah, on the season and the location, but, yeah, you can guarantee there'll be adventure activities like giant flying foxes, big swings. There might be archery or trampolines. There's often an animal-type activity with a petting zoo or a horse ride woven in. And then across each day, there's also a bunch of... there's music, there's a drama each day, so there'll be a four-part drama put,
yeah,
on by the leaders, actually. Actually, that one. There's a cliffhanger every day until it finally comes to a fantastic conclusion on the, yep, last day of camp as well.
Terrific. So a part of the camp, but is it team building or is it all about just the young people having fun?
What we say is we give every child the best week of their year.
Right.
And what that means to us is not necessarily getting them to do every activity. We have a really action-packed, structured week,
yep,
and there's a whole variety of things for them to do. But our aim is not necessarily to get them to do all of them. It's to feel comfortable and be challenged by choice.
And if I'm frightened of heights or something, like we're not going to be pushed up to the heights so that just to prove that I'm... You know, I can rely on other people. So if they don't want to participate in something, they don't have to.
Absolutely. You know, one thing we've seen for a number of these kids is that they haven't been listened to or their no hasn't been respected. And so, yep, if they really don't want to do something, then it's not our aim to make them do it. We want to make them feel safe to give it a go.
Yep.
And one of the really cool things we saw on one of our summer camps was an abseiling tower. We had the abseiling on Monday.
Yep.
And a bunch of them, say, went halfway or went up to the top and looked over the edge.
Yep.
And then on Friday when we opened it up again, every young person went a step further than where they'd gone. But they'd built confidence and resilience over the week. They wanted to go back and push themselves that little bit. But it's not up to us to need to push them. It's, yep, just to provide opportunity to feel safe and have a go.
If they want to do it.
Yeah.
So do you, when you get these young people coming back or... however you meet them up some other time, do you find that some of these young people just continue to talk about these 5 days over a long period of time, maybe years?
Absolutely. As we said earlier, the organisation's been around for 24 years now, yep, and what that means is there's a whole lot of adults that were campers on our camps, yep, that have now grown up. And one of the greatest honours that I have working at the National Office is receiving the phone calls and the emails that come in from now adults getting in touch to say that they'd been on camp and that it had made such a significant impact in their life.
Because you can imagine that, can't you? If they've had nothing, never been... and I'm not putting the carers down in any way, but, you know... If they haven't in the past, I mean, carers have got a huge job, but, you know, if they haven't been listened to in the past, well, you know, some of these things must have a profound effect on that young person.
Absolutely. What they pretty much all report back to us is that camp either changed the direction of their life, and in a number of cases they've actually said that camp saved their life.
Have they?
Absolutely, yeah. It's had a really profound impact on them.
On the young people.
On the young people, that's right.
All right, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Now, Belinda, we don't want to intrude too much on the organisation, on what you do and that, but in, say, in Victoria, what sort of area do you hold the camps?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, Alan, we don't exist in one place.
Yep.
We serve local communities with local people, so yep. We don't have a campsite that we go to.
No, and you don't have a particular one where you just hire that all the time?
No, exactly right. We've got a few campsites that are really good to us, and as I said, we're on every year, so they'll become the local campsite for that local camp. Right. But we're all over the place. We've got Ballarat, Bendigo, we're up in Mildura, we're in Knox and Casey and Victoria, and then we're in a number of other states as well.
But when you say in the likes of Knox and Casey, there's no camps in those areas, though, are they?
There are campsites, yeah. So we hire them for the week and we move in and make them ours for the week and have a really great time.
We won't talk about any particular site because I don't want people sort of to know exactly where you go. But if you were to say, no, well, we won't use any suburb at all. But do you hire ones that have got dormitories and all that, or is it a real camp where they have to be in tents, or what? What's it? I'm trying to get at what the actual setup of the camp is.
Get a feel for it, absolutely. Yep. So most of our camps are for primary age children, age 7 to 11.
Yep.
And those camps happen in cabins at a campsite. So it'll be a structured campsite. There'll be activities on site with ovals and flying foxes and things, and the kids will sleep in cabins on site, and we'll do all our communal stuff in a big dining hall or something like that.
So most of those camps would have their own equipment, wouldn't they? Like they'd have the flying fox, so you don't have to bring in all that equipment. Am I right?
That's right. So that's for most of our camps. Yep. What we discovered, though, is in having the kids come back every year for 5 years through their primary camps, we typically would graduate the grade sixes, celebrate their time on camp and wish them well. And graduation's actually a really hard day because for a lot of these kids, we've got the longest standing relationship in their lives. We've been seeing them for years and years. They've been coming back, having this great time. Yeah. And so we saw a real need to continue on in the formative teenage years to be that consistent, you know, group of people that turn up and are in their corner. So for the last few years, we've been piloting a wild camp, our teenage graduate program. And
you
we did
explain that to us.
We did that off the back of our Yarra Rangers camp. So it is local to here. Yeah. And so what happens is as the grade sixes graduate their primary camp, they move into being invited to wild camp. And it is...
It conjures up, pardon me, all sorts of ideas, yeah.
So this camp is more adventure-based, outdoor. There's more opportunity for leadership, opportunities for the kids, and there is a camp-out element to it. So this January, we just had our wild camp in the Yarra Ranges, and so we have a mix of a few nights in cabins and also sleeping out in canvas. So the kids are pitching the tents and we're cooking pancakes on the camp stove.
Pardon me, they've got to do their own pitching the tent.
Exactly right, which they loved.
Yeah.
They really loved. So that camp's been running for 4 years now and it's been a pilot. We wanted to work out the program and make sure that the benefit was there. And having seen firsthand now, the kids just love it. It's been really an incredible experience, and what we're doing now is actually starting to roll that out so that the other camps around the country can have a wild camp as well.
So that wild camp, are they only young people that have gone through the camp for 4 or 5 years, or you're not picking up other people? It's just
basically there's no new referrals to those camps. It's just a graduate program for the kids that we already know.
So you've just run one of those in January, but you also ran the junior camp as well in January, didn't you?
We did. So we had 5 camps run in January. Yeah. It was a busy time. So by the time we were 3 weeks down into January, we'd had 5 camps run.
Absolutely.
So we had our Knox camp, our Casey camp, our East Sydney camp, our Adelaide Hills camp, and the Yarra Valley wild camp for the teenagers there.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. So that's really good. So obviously, as you're saying, that when you get in these wild camps, they're got to be a little bit more challenging because what keeps a 7 or 8 year old entertained doesn't keep a teenager entertained, do they? I mean, they do probably want to be stretched.
Absolutely. Yep. We tried to balance up the program with enough similarity that it feels like they're coming back to something that feels familiar that they enjoy, and modifying it to suit the maturity and the needs of teenagers. So they do some really cool activities. We do a day hike. As I said, they set up all their tents and camp out under the gum trees. Yeah. We had an outdoor movie night with ice creams where we watched a really great movie and had possums jumping around in the gum trees above us.
Yeah.
They canoed down the Yarra. It's a really cool program.
So with these programs, and we're talking with the wild camp and the other one, who designs the actual activities? Is it designed by the volunteers, or do you, as the CEO and your team, do you decide what's going to go on at the camp?
So that is the role of the national office. So while each camp's program is tailored to the season, the local activities, availability, we have a really set program, and there are a whole bunch of things that no matter which camp you went to, you'd know it's a Southern Cross Kids camp because those things exist.
And let's face it, they will have been honed over 24 years.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not as though you want to do 24 different things. I mean, obviously you've tried some things, and this is no disrespect, that didn't perhaps work the way you wanted to work, so you hone it until it does. So you've obviously had that experience as a group.
Exactly right. So there's been people, you know, steering it from the get-go. Our camping model is actually based on a group in America. 25 years ago, our founder went over to America and saw these amazing camps taking place over there and came back and said, we just have to do this. So she got her friends together, started one camp, and we've grown from there. And now, as you say, the collective experience of all the different camp directors, all the people that go before me, has gone into the program that we've got now.
Is your founder still with you, or is she still not with us, full stop?
No, she actually passed away about 10 years ago, sadly. Yeah, but her legacy definitely lives on, and we're certainly better for the fact that
she never really got to see the full potential, did she?
Oh, she saw it well and truly underway, but I think she'd be really excited to know what it's doing now.
Yeah. I've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. I'm talking to Belinda from Southern Cross Kids Camps, and she's the CEO down there, so you can't do any better than talk to the person that knows what's going on. Belinda, I've got a couple of questions, but the first one is, when you're looking for volunteers, and in case anybody today is listening and says, oh, you know, I've been involved with youth work and I'd like to get involved, what sort of skills do you look for when you're looking for a volunteer?
We look for all sorts of different people to be on the team. So it's not so much what they already know, but a willingness to get on board and go through our training processes. So we have a really rigorous, as you'd expect and hope, really rigorous screening process in terms of interviewing and screening our volunteers. Yep. And then we provide all the training and the lead-ups to camps.
And so obviously if they can't pass it, working with children's check, don't bother coming on. You know,
yeah, that is definitely core business for us. So,
Belinda, when you say you've got a training course for your volunteers, like, is it ongoing? And the first one, how long is it? Is it a couple of days, or does it go on for weeks? The training?
Look, they're all done locally, so the format's slightly different. Some of our more rural camps will use more Zoom, and some of the more metro camps will meet predominantly in person. But a new volunteer would expect to do at least three training sessions with us. The first one's mainly onboarding and learning, you know, the lingo, how it all works, what camp's all about. And then there's always child safety training that's refreshed every year for every person. And then we do a variety of things to help them navigating some of the tricky behaviours that can come up on camp, because all of the kids that come on camp have suffered trauma of some kind.
Yep.
And they often have special needs attached to that and some behaviours that can outwork in different ways. So we want to make sure that every person that comes on camp is really well equipped to support the young people.
You said that first one, though, like, how, what are we talking, days or you know?
Look, each session would be somewhere between 2 and 4 hours. Some camps do one big whole training session and a few Zooms to supplement it. Others might do several shorter sessions in the lead up to camp.
So I guess apart from everything else, you're looking for volunteers that are switched on to the idea of helping these young people and realising that there may be the odd problem with discipline or whatever. And I guess you're also looking for people who've got patience.
Exactly. Patience is king. And we just often say, if you don't know what to do, stay in the conversation.
Yep.
If you can be the calmest person in the situation, you will no doubt be doing the child a great service.
Well, the trouble is, none of us make a decision under pressure very well, do we? You can often, if you've made a decision under pressure, you can look back and later on think, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that.
Exactly. And in as well as training our volunteers, we do have a number of specialist people on camp that are particularly well-skilled in the space of child safety and also in terms of behaviour management and supporting kids from tricky backgrounds. So nobody needs to come in being an expert. They just need to come in ready to love and support a child.
And to learn.
And we'll make sure that the professional sort of team is there to support them through camp, however that looks.
Can't do better than that. So how many camps do you only have the four? Like, not so much in one. I'm not talking about how many different places. I'm talking now, they're mainly in the school holidays. So do you only have them in each school holiday? So what I'm trying to say, what have you got planned for this year?
We've got a big year planned, Alan, and it started strong. So we've had 5 and we've got 18 scheduled for the year. So every time 18. Every time it's school holidays, there'll be camps on somewhere.
Yep.
So the next round of camps will happen in the April Easter holidays, and we've got 3 camps happening there, including our second wild camp, which is for our Bendigo camp. And we've also got our South Sydney and our High Country camps running at that time.
So have you got others in Victoria, like other than the Wild Camp, or is that the only one that you've got in the next school holidays in Victoria I'm talking about?
No, so it'll just be those 3 camps that run in Victoria or in the country in April. And then we've got a couple of camps happening in the mid-year. We've got our Gold Coast camp, our Darwin camp. Yarra Rangers primary camp happens then. And then September's another big camp season for us. We'll have 6 camps running then as well. So it's a big year.
That's a big year.
And whenever we're not on camp, we're out fundraising. So we've got some really big fundraisers on this year as well.
I guess that's the other issue too, that and you should let us know when you've got fundraisers on so that we can at least promote it for you to try and get some people along to whatever it is you're doing, whether it be a sausage sizzle or or trivia nights or whatever, you should let us know and we'd be happy to promote that for you.
Thank you.
Look, I just better take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Talking to Belinda from Southern Cross Kids Camps. Now, there's a couple of things we need to do. Belinda, in a few minutes' time, please have your paper and pencil ready. And if you've got a few dollars, look, it's a great opportunity to help a young child that otherwise will miss out. And you know that the money is going to go to send a child to camp. So please, if you've got a few dollars, just throw it their way. And Belinda will tell you about that in a minute. Belinda, you were talking before about fundraising and you've just dropped the magic word that you're going to do a bike ride. Tell us a little bit about that, plus. Are you going to do it, first of all?
I will be sitting in one of the support crew cars cheering on our incredible riders. So we have an amazing event called Cycle for Change. It had humble beginnings where a bunch of about eight people decided to ride down from Canberra to Melbourne. And
from Canberra to Melbourne?
Yeah, raise some funds and put it towards running camps. And that started We're 8 years in now, and it's quite an event now. It's a four-day bike ride. This year we're going to Adelaide, and they're tackling the Adelaide Hills. So we'll have 40 riders. We'll have crew cars. It's a fully supported ride.
So you ride the whole way from here to Adelaide?
No. We fly over, and they spend 4 days riding in Adelaide.
Oh, you're
riding up and down
Adelaide.
Some extreme climbs and some pretty incredible roads.
True. And you've got 40 people.
That's right, we do.
True. And do they... Well, apart from the fact you probably charge them to be in it because that's part of it, so are they expected to raise an amount of money to do the ride?
They are. So the way it works as a fundraiser is there's two parts. There's corporate sponsorship available to it, so businesses can put their logos on our kits and get mentions in our social media and everything.
There's your opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's still some
and
options to get involved.
It'll be tax deductible too.
It is. That's right.
Yeah.
And then each rider commits to raising an amount for the camps personally,
yep.
and they get to choose which camp they're supporting in
as
well. So they know where the money's going.
Yep.
And so they host a variety of fundraisers themselves across the year to support their position, and then they put themselves through the grueling ride of 4 days and some very steep hills.
And so where do they camp along there? I'm a bit intrigued to know about this bike ride. Do they sort of camp along the line, or do they?
No, we put them up in a hotel.
I know what you mind.
They work hard enough during the day. We need to let them rest at night. Yeah. So
how far do they ride each day?
Oh, it varies a little bit, but it's about 100 to 120 k's a day. So they're working hard, and there's some significant hills too. If anyone's familiar with the Adelaide Hills, they'll be put through their paces. You can actually see the full routes and the whole description of the event on our website if anyone's interested.
And when's that coming up?
So the Cycle for Change is the 2nd to 5th of May.
2nd to the 5th of May.
That's right. So our riders are fully signed up, but there are some options to support, and we run it every year. So if there's any businesses that are interested in featuring in any way, we'd love to hear from them.
And I guess also you probably wouldn't mind passing some donations on to the riders either if someone's listening that would like to sponsor a rider or put some money towards a sponsorship.
Absolutely. You can see all our riders. They're an incredible, dedicated group of people. So they've all got profiles on our website, and you can see how they're going, why they're doing it, and who might need a few extra dollars put into their fundraising.
And around 100 to 120 k's a day. That's no mean effort, is it?
Well, that's right. They're training for months before the event, and they're fundraising as well. So it's a really significant commitment, and we're so grateful to the people that do it.
And this might not be a fair question because you might know. Out of those 40 riders, have you got any that have been involved with a camp as either as a volunteer or as a young person, or are they just bike riders who want to do their bit to raise some money for you?
We've got a bit of all of the above. We've got people that have never been on camp but love what it is and love cycling and have decided to combine a personal challenge with fundraising for a great cause. And then we've got a number of people that have been on camps, either as buddies, and last year we did have one of our campers riding as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
How old was the camper?
Oh, sorry, now adult.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, there's no kids on the bike ride.
I wouldn't have thought you would have been...
Just mine cheering from the car sometimes.
I wouldn't have thought you'd have been loud young people, people that young on the...
No, it is an over-18s event, that one. Yeah.
And in fairness, we shouldn't just put that off quite so easy because to even organise that, I mean, you've got logistics apart from where you're going to stay and, you can book motels and that, but they've got to be fed and all that. But more importantly, with most of these, you've got to out the A's with the police and you've got to get all sorts of permits to be allowed to run them too, don't you?
Exactly right. So just like a camp, we actually have a committee of volunteers that run this event as well with some national office guidance and oversight. But it is an incredible undertaking. There's hours and hours of work and details, and the people that put their hand up to do it are truly extraordinary.
Well, I was going to say that because I know that I'm in Rotary and they run a bike ride, and I know apart from you've got to have support crew and all that, it's a major thing to get some sort of insurance on it, and the only way you can do that, you've got to liaise with the police and councils and all sorts of things, don't you?
That's right. There's quite an undertaking, but it's absolutely worthwhile, and when we see what difference it makes for the kids and the money we're able to pump into camps, then it's something we'll do and continue to do every year.
Is it always in Adelaide?
No, we moved it around. So we were Gold Coast last year and we've been to most states. So we haven't decided on the one after Adelaide yet. We're open to suggestions.
What's this space? All right. So if we've got people that any business are listening that would like to put some money to or sponsor part of this bike ride or sponsor a bike, a person, or if we've got people out there that just like the idea of the camp, how are they going to find out more? Or you've told them all about it, but how are they going to get hold of you, please, Belinda?
So our website is the best place to go for information on everything that's happening. So it's
www.sckc.org.au. sckc.org.au.
That's right. And from there, you can do everything from refer a child to make an inquiry about volunteering. You'll be able to see all of our fundraisers and upcoming events. And there's ways to get in contact with us, including email, phone, and anyone that's on Facebook or the socials can follow us there as well to keep
on
up to date.
On Facebook as SCKC too.
Yeah, so Southern Cross Kids Camps Australia.
Yep.
And if you follow us on there, you'll see photos from all of our camps and get to see what we're doing all around the country, which is really great.
Now, just very briefly, because we're fast running out of time, you just said if somebody's got somebody that they would like to nominate to go on a camp, so what sort of criteria do you want them to look at? Because we don't want a millionaire ringing up and saying, oh, my child should go on this. So what sort of criteria are you looking for the child?
Of course. So it's worth saying that our camps usually run with wait lists. There is high demand. But our camps, for an eligible referral, there's a whole bunch of frequently asked questions on the website. But normally it's ages 7 to 11, kids in grades 2 to grade 6 that have suffered some sort of trauma as a result of a pretty tough start to life.
Can they still be living at home with parents, or are they only ones that are in another situation?
No, definitely. We do have children that are at home. Usually in that case, they're referred in by a social worker that's working with the family. But each case is a little bit unique. So the best thing to do would be to jump on the website, have a look at all the questions because we answer them there.
I've got to go. News is knocking on the door. Website again, please.
Website again is sckc.org.au.
Thanks for coming in, Belinda, and we hope to talk to you during the year, and I hope the bike ride's a real success. Something you'll never get me on.
Thanks so much, Ellen.